Okay, friends, we're back at it this Thursday, May 25th. It's Chapo coming at you today. Let's see. I mean, obviously, where to even begin with the yesterday's rollout of the Ron DeSantis campaign on Twitter Spaces?
I can't. I mean, just so people know, we're doing this over dictaphone. The internet is broken. The internet could not withstand 87,000 people, most of whom were listening through jitterbugs, and 87,000 people concurrently listening to an audio announcement, two amazingly charismatic men trying to figure out if they were muted or not. Probably the greatest presidential announcement of all time.
I can't get over the fact that this was his rollout, his presidential campaign launch, and it was in an audio-only format.
Baffling.
And the audio sounded terrible. I mean, honestly, Felix, you're right. Like, listening, like, trying to tune into that or listening to, like, Elon just be like, oh, shit, the server.
Oh, no, that's right.
It was humanizing in the sense that it reminded me of, like, every single time we've tried to do a Twitch stream or even just record this show.
Yeah.
Except, you know, if I were running for president and then, like, you're, like, you know, Chris is coming in.
Audio only format.
Hi,
you know how what you really want out of a big splashy announcement is hearing opportunities, you know, not audio opportunities. That's what you want.
It's like hi, I'm Will Moniker. I'm running to start the great American comeback, and then it just Chris is pointing at his ears, going, wait, could you just go to the settings? Go to the settings. Okay, can you make sure your output is put to the Scarlet? Output Scarlet, is it in for the headphones or out for your voice? I always forget.
Yeah.
What a fucking dynamic presence what a fucking rollout that was.
And if Donald Trump was a little bit younger, he could come up with a new nickname for Ron, Dark Side Ron. Because it was a very Dark Side Phil streaming experience.
What's amazing is that remember when Trump did his announcement and the next day we were like, damn, he could lose. Fuck.
Yeah.
Like he used it as an opportunity to sell those trading cards. We're like, oh, fuck. And then don't believe me. Just watch. Ron topped him in every way. Astounding.
Yeah. This is like if during the Trump announcement, when he's trying to sell the trading cards, if his pants fell down and everyone just saw like smooth genitalia, but also like skid marks on his boxers. That's the only way it could match this level of just general incompetence. I also, everyone knows David Sacks at this point, right?
Oh, David Sad Sacks. And yeah, him saying that we broke the internet. It's like, no, the shitty website that you're doing this on broke. That's not breaking the internet. Like, this did not catch on.
Yeah. It's like more people, there is an acquaintance of mine whose Twitch podcast I did a few times. It's a Twitch podcast with 15 people and tons of people watch it. This guy named Trainwreck TV, who's always been very nice to me. He's this guy I know. He left Twitch because they banned gambling. He made a big part of his stream doing online Bitcoin gambling on online slot machines. Twitch was like, you can't do that anymore. And Trainwreck TV, this guy who's a few years younger than me, he went out and made his own streaming service that he regularly gets more people than showed up to this Ron announcement. So he, like, maybe put him in charge of SpaceX, because he seems to not have any of the problems that Elon and Ron just had.
Well, I mean, this was an Elon Musk joint to a T. Because, I mean, like, the rollout of the Ron DeSantis campaign, just like a Tesla or one of his rockets, was a crash and burn. People bang on the windows to stop from burning to death. And, like, the whole format of the, like, because, okay, first of all, like, a big part of this is that it's pretty clear Elon Musk is trying to turn Twitter into, like, a Fox News competitor. And if you look at all the Murdoch papers today, they are roasting the shit out of him for this. And yeah, the idea that, like, this would be a forum where, like, the candidate would be unfiltered. It was 20 minutes of this. Okay, first of all, most of it was just Elon Musk and Dave Sachs at the beginning. I was like, get to the fucking... Eventually, you will have Ron DeSantis on your Ron DeSantis tour when it started working. And then it was like 20 minutes of this asshole talking about Disney and gender ideology and then fielding like the softest questions I've ever. Oh, they're like, yeah, like, so some people say you would defend America too much, Governor. What's your response to that, please?
Ron, a lot of people are criticizing you that your marriage is too normal and you shake your wife's hand with too much passion. I love David Sacks. David Sacks is like when Sheldon Adelson died and, you know, they saw that Miriam she's like in soul form. She isn't in physical form anymore. She's like about to go to the Nexus. Republican donors are like, holy shit, what are we going to do? We need a new scary genius. And David Sacks was like, have no fear, I've arrived. And then immediately seems to have lost all his money the second that rates went up 1% of
percent. He's been honking like a goose for government intervention for a while now. Soon as they turn that money machine, he's like, actually, you know what? Please, government, help me.
Yeah, David Sacks is on paper worth like, you know, $900 million. He's going to payday loan places every day to pay for the shiniest fucking shirts you've ever seen. And that side of the party is like, don't worry. We have Sheldon Adelson at home and he's way better. And team Ron and team Elon were like, who's the most charismatic man we know? David, unfortunately, we can't handle video. It will blow up the building that we're in if we try to do video. So no one can see your shiny rayon shirt. But just lead this off. Talk about how Mickey Mouse has a Neo vagina. People love that. And he did it.
Out of the triumvirate of those three, it is truly impressive that David Sacks is the most repellent individual between Elon, Ron, help me, Rhonda, and himself.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's just a sniveling, he's a grim a worm tongue. He's not even like the guy doing it. He's just like the hanger on, kissing his ass.
This is one of David Sacks's questions to the governor. He says, Governor, I saw the cover of Time magazine this week, and I think they were trying to do a negative story because you were kind of scowling in this portrait they made of you. And in the article, they compared you to the Terminator. And I think they meant it as an insult, but I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was a good thing because I think we need a cool-headed, ruthless assassin to go in and take on the woke mob, on our out-of-control government, and take on problems like the one on our border. Again, I think it made you sound great, even if it wasn't their intention.
Yeah, Ron, you are just
clothes,
like the Terminator.
Motorcycle and putting tax.
You're sugar, man. Give it to me.
So I can put it in the garbage. That's where it belongs.
Your foster parents are woke. I know why you eat sugar, but it's something I can't do, man.
Ah, there it is. Oh God! Just like that was like hitting a three, then stealing the inbound pass and hitting another three.
he's lowering himself into a vat of full strength Coke.
I lie. Terminator Ron. This has got legs. Oh, I know, but like, if you're one of the few people lucky enough to like listen to this, and I did not, but apparently. The first 10 minutes of his campaign announcement, which took like well over an hour to get to after all the technical difficulties, they shut down the original space, which had like 500,000 people, which I'm sorry, that's like daytime cable TV in the afternoon. That is not big numbers. Like the Vanderpump Rules does like probably 10 times that. The first 10 minutes of his campaign announcement, he talked about gender ideology. The next 20, he talked about Disney. And then you mentioned David Sacks. I thought it was very interesting. The last 10 minutes of him talking was just fielding questions about Bitcoin and crypto and signaling he says, I don't really have an itch to regulate that whole space and stop what people are doing there. Brilliant.
Inspiring. You know, inspiring.
People say the internet is not real life. And then other people say, yeah, bullshit. It is. You live and breathe it. And the thing is, it is real life, but only in certain like geographically and spatially bound areas, you know, and that is a minority of the time, you know, like most of the time in most of America, the internet isn't real life. But it's possible for it to concentrate and like take over like a local media ecosystem and electorate. And that has happened in Florida. Florida has been hijacked by the internet. And now they're trying to do a hostile takeover of the non-internet United States.
Well,
but they are still a minority of a minority, and they're going to find that out in this quixotic attempt to turn internet right-wing grievance like into a guy. Like, this entire thing is of a piece, from doing the insane thing of debuting your campaign in an audio format on a fucking, what, the seventh most used social media fucking platform, to the focus on shit like gender ideology and DEI and the fucking Disney. Like, this is all stuff that only appeals to people who have become internet.
And, you know, people, I remember, like, it was like some GOP operative said that sometimes Ron DeSantis can be too online as compared to Donald Trump. And, like, people have been pointing out, like, it comes down to, like, the difference between Donald Trump being a poster mm-hmm. and Ron DeSantis being an online nerd.
Yes, the thing is, he's like, a reply
Trump,
guy. This is,
like, Trump.
It's
like,
a reply guy versus a poster.
He bends reality around him. And the thing is, like, Trump puts his thoughts out on Twitter, but he is reacting to things he sees on television. Television is what mediates his understanding of the world.
Yes, correct.
And that's, and like, whereas Ron DeSantis and like everyone who works for him, including fucking Christopher Rufo, who showed up on, I mean, you know, a real winner's circle in his fucking, in his inner cadre or whatever. But yeah, like, they are totally captured and like responding to shit that it's on the internet. And like, and the fact that they tried to roll this out on the internet is just so baffling to me. What are they going for, that youth vote? And like, Twitter as a website, yes, you're right, Matt, is like not even like barely in the top 10 most used social media sites, and barely even works to begin with.
Yeah, apparently there was no prep. They didn't lay on any extra capacity beforehand. They're just like, no, we've done it. We fired everyone, and now it's running on rails, and we can dump this on there with no problem. It's astounding, the hubris. It's beyond parody. It's tedious to point out, because like, how you wouldn't write it that way.
Yeah, they didn't even do like a dry run of it. They were like, okay, we're an hour out from going live on this big, and like, no one in the DeSantis campaign pressured them to do this either. You know, like, I just thought, like, I'm usually not one to credit her opinion on anything, but Michelle Goldberg made a point about Ron DeSantis that stuck with me, that there's something very servile about him. There's something very submissive in the fact that he, like, turned over his campaign announcement to Elon Musk, and then that campaign video that's, like, the three-minute Ron DeSantis campaign announcement, half of which are just images of Elon Musk looking cool.
It's, well, I mean, how'd he get there? He became a little remora stuck to the side of Trump. Remember those awful ads?
Yeah.
Where he was like reading about the wall to his baby.
Oh.
And it's like, he's teaching his children about how awesome Trump is.
Everyone knows my husband, Ron DeSantis, is endorsed by President Trump, but he's also an amazing dad. Ron loves playing with the kids.
Build the wall.
He reads stories.
Then Mr. Trump said, "You're fired." I love that part.
He's teaching Madison to talk.
Make America great again.
He was just a vessel filled with a Florida shaped vessel filled with Trump. So he has to be latched on to some other figure who actually does act, because he can, as a reply guy, only ever react.
Yes.
And that's why now he's lashed to the weirdest and most off-putting parts of Trump's appeal, the culture war stuff. Because it's the only thing that is governor of New York and or Florida and is a husk, he could actually do something good. Oh, people don't like this woke stuff. Oh, what are they saying on the internet? You don't like that? I'll ban it. You don't like those guys? They're gone. Oh, what else do you want? And that is still kissing ass. That's still following someone that is not acting. He cannot act.
Yeah,
the difference is stark.
I'm always struck by that. Like, the people like Elon, and then to a lesser extent, like, I don't know, some like Team Mitch or Team Rubio holdovers, are that they've always made this distinction that people have just accepted, that Ron is like, he's the smart and serious Republican. You know, he's not fucking around and talking about Bruce Orr or fucking, you know, having a meeting with the remaining members of Earth, Wind and Fire and serving them brisket that's been on under a heat lamp for 5 days. But you look at like everything Ron's done, it's like, okay, did he do some massive crazy flat tax thing where everything's replaced by sales tax, you know, something awful but nonetheless part of a club for growth type mentality? No, he's doing the equivalent of like what Beto would have done if he had gotten in where he's like, I'm passing in an executive order that says, all of Dr. Seuss's blackface books are good. What does he do? What is he doing? He has it like, there's just nothing. If you're going after like a smart Republican who's doing all the serious stuff, like, why wouldn't you be into like Larry Hogan, I guess? Someone like that.
And that speaks to something. By the way, Glenn Youngkin, who said he wasn't going to run for president 2024 like a couple months ago, has now said he's reconsidering. So see that people like Haley, Tim Scott are still in. Chris Christie says he's coming in. DeSantis has not scared anybody out of the water. And you might say, there's no downside for these people. Like, their campaign people get paid and they get a bigger platform and maybe they get a media job. But even if they only take a couple percentages each, all those percentages come out of DeSantis's slice.
Yeah.
None of that comes out of Trump. That's just pure cannibalism of the anti-Trump vote. So he's fucked if he can't get these people out of the race.
And like Glenn Youngkin, like he's watching
Glenn Blumkin,
please.
He's watching DeSantis, and like, as Matt said, like all his personal interactions, like you think his interactions with someone he doesn't like Charlie Crist, who almost made fucking Ron cry.
Oh God, that was
Oh my God.
Charlie Crist is fucking nothing. Charlie Crist is a fucking waterbed salesman, and he almost made Ron start self-harming.
Yeah.
Ron
does this thing. He does this thing when someone like gets him in public, like when Gillum did that to him too, you know, like totally on Molly, rolling and still did it to him, is that he'll kind of do that. You guys, that people might not be able to understand it, but you guys know what I'm saying. He goes like this.
Yeah, he's like a toddler. Well, if I keep huffing, they'll know I'm mad.
Oh. Just like a little baby harumph.
Yeah. Fucking Andrew Gillum had poppers falling out of his pocket, and Ron was trying to hold his breath until he passed out so they could cancel the debate.
Francis fucking Buxton.
Yeah. Like, all the biggest fucking losers. Like, the Florida Democratic Party are the biggest losers ever, probably.
Oh, my God. Are like Washington Generals. The guys that the Washington Generals play in practice.
Yeah. They are the guys designated to give the Washington Generals a winning record before they play against the Globetrotters. They are like the guys that are supposed to run against the side. They're nothing. And they, you know, Andrew Gillum somehow came close. Charlie Crist got destroyed, still almost made him cry. And, like, that's bad enough. As Matt pointed out, though, when he's with someone he likes or is supposed to like, it's even more disturbing because he's either, like, just a fucking toady, totally servile and quiet, just disgusting. It's not like when Trump likes someone and he's, like, kind of alphaing them. He's like, you know, I bet you've never seen a fucking desk like this, whatever dumb shit he talks about. Ron, by the way,
would you like sign boxing gloves by Roy Jones Jr.?
Yeah.
I can give them to you.
Ron acts like a court eunuch around someone, or does, like, he goes, time to turn on the DeSantis charm, and turns into a tune. And it's just fucking beyond disgusting. And if you're Glenn Youngkin before this, he was, because he's surrounded by other idiots, he's like, oh, you know, it's either Ron or Trump, I'm not gonna fuck this up. And now he saw more than 5 minutes of Ron in person, and he's like, wait a minute, I fucking did 9/11. Like, he's like, even if I don't win, I'm going to fucking blow this guy. I did fucking 9/11, and this asshole Disney is about to take both his kids. Disney is about to win his family in court. Disney is about to inject Casey DeSantis with a drug that turns her into a tune. Maybe if I run, Trump is going to put me in charge of the next 9/11. I may not win, but like, fucking, I'm better than this guy.
Yeah, time for a little thermite plasma on old Ron DeSantis there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, talk about a guy who knows the James Baker.
Yeah. But this should really be the final. Like, this thing about him, like, yeah, like, every one of his instincts and his persona should tell even the people, like the people who've convinced themselves that we need to go beyond Trump, like the fascists types are like, yeah, Trump clearly can't like take on, you know, the embedded globo homo. We need somebody who's like really going to do it. And look at what Trump, what DeSantis has done in Florida. He's going to do that in Washington. Absolutely not. The first time a fucking bondholder is grumpy at him, he's going to say, sorry, we're not doing national Florida. I'm not going to nuke Anaheim. We're not going to do any of the stuff that disrupts the market. Like, he doesn't have that dog in him.
No.
Trump govern like a fucking Republican. Congratulations.
Another thing he doesn't have in him is currently $86 million in campaign funds he's raised. That...
Trump incompetent is the thing. We get the Trump policy,
yeah, Trump,
which we competent. Love,
yeah.
But delivered competently.
Do you think Trump would ever leave a bag on the table like that? Like, if you tell him there's $86 million you can't trust, he'll be like, oh yeah, I can't touch it. Here, let me send one of my fucking low IQ ex-NYPD demoted detectives to go to prison for me.
I'm going to send Bo Beetle there with that. A fucking armored car to just load it in.
Trump has an army of fucking imbeciles who will go to prison for him. And no one is even going to get in trouble for Ron.
Even his team Droypers would not risk like being grounded by their moms.
Yeah. Ron doesn't even have Groypers. Ron has a lesser frog.
He's got some Groypers.
No, the Groypers hate Ron. I'm immersed in the Groyper scene.
What about the Franco enjoyer teens? What are they then if they're not Groypers? Because they do like him.
Well, those aren't Groypers because they're like they don't think the Groypers believe in like the glory of Christ enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they like, you know, Groypers will say stuff like, oh, the Marines are gay, and the Francoist teens will be like, in Dominis Patris Spiritus Sancti. They'll start, you know, saying shit from Boondock Saints that they think's in the Bible. And so,
did you see the guy who said we needed a Protestant Franco in America?
Protestant Franco, baby.
Protestant Franco.
I love the idea of Protestant Franco, having a Valley of the Fallen of everyone who died during Black Friday. That's what Protestant Franco has.
The cross is made out of smashed shopping carts from the carnage.
sorry, back
the
to the
Sagrada de Familia is turned into a fucking Applebee's.
The sad story about it is $86 million. This is like $86 million that it's a state political action committee. It says Florida allies raised $86 million that's now sitting in an account that can't be transferred to his presidential campaign. It says here because it was like raised and like there's something about like the laws changed like after they raised it. And I don't know, like they just weren't keeping a track of this. So it says they believe they can transfer the money to a federal super PAC that supports him by changing the name and mission of Friends of Ron DeSantis.
This is the smart one.
On May 15th, 9 days before Mr. DeSantis entered the presidential race, Friends of Ron DeSantis filed paperwork with the Florida Division of Elections to change its name to Empower Parents.
Holy shit.
Gotta empower those parents.
And parents, like they're still stuck. They're stuck on this like a 2021 thing where there were like three school board meetings that happened where, a bunch of parents of like Bronleys and Gorwins interrupted a PTA meeting to be like, you have to stop teaching woke to my kid. And all the Chris Rufo, who was on the call, by the way, the biggest bag fumbler there is, the guy who probably is singularly more responsible for the midterm 2022 flop than any other human being.
It's true.
They were like, it's a parents' revolution. There's going to be a red wave. And it's like, you decided to fight the libs where the one remaining place, the last union they haven't given up besides, SAG, the teachers' union. I mean, a little bit, but it's important for them electorally. They fucking bricked. Parents rise up or whatever, that's going nowhere. You suck.
Especially since all the people who really, really, really care about all this shit don't have fucking kids. Are you kidding?
Yeah. No.
If they do have kids, they're not allowed within like 100 yards of them by court order.
I read in the Washington Post the other day that something like 90% of all of like the now parent generated book bans that are coursing through this country, they've been initiated, like the attempts to ban these books, by 11 people.
Yeah, and they're all James Ellroy minor antagonists.
and
they're all guys that like Big Pete Bondurant stomps out for being perverted in the neighborhood.
Beeping and creeping.
He's got Harlow's underwear. Go kick his teeth in.
They're teaching CRT to my kids, and then like he gets pistol whipped and his bridge work falls out onto the street or something like that. Always spitting the bridge work out in the James Ellroy. So yeah, like this bag fumbling on let's talk about some of the reactions to the campaign announcement, because like first of all, Trump on Truth Social posted he's calling him Rob now.
People have advised him about the past, and I'm glad he's taking that note.
He says, "Rob, my red button is bigger, better, stronger, and is working." In parentheses, truth, yours does not. Per my conversation with Kim Jong-un of North Korea, soon to become my friend.
God.
I've always loved Donald Trump's affection for Kim Jong-un and Kim Jong-il. He really he loves both of them so much. And honestly, like if he becomes president again, like he said in multiple, he's like, I can't wait to go back and hang out with my friend Kim Jong-un, Rocket Man, I call him. But not only that, did you see the video that like they put out on Truth Social that was a parody of the Ron DeSantis Twitter announcement? It's like a video.
Breathtaking.
It's amazing. A video that's like a parody of a Twitter space, but you can see like the participants in it are Ron DeSantis, George Soros, Hitler, and Satan. And it's like a it's a long video. Maybe we can play play a little audio from it, but it's a long video that's like
anyway, guys, we invited everyone to this this Twitter space so Governor Ron DeSantis could
everyone just shut the hell up so I can make my announcement, okay?
You go, girl.
Wait, the devil is gay?
So what? Everyone in this call is gay.
I happen to know
every single one of you has a secret gay lover in your closet.
Guys, can we please just calm down?
So anyway, guys, I just wanted to announce that I'm...
Okay. I can hear the governor very well.
Shut up. Would you please shut up already?
Actually, a pretty funny parody of the technical issues, but then it just divulges into like Adolf Hitler being like, I am gay! Everybody on this call is gay! They're gay Jews!
Oh my God. Ron, Team Ron could never come up with something as whimsical and fantastic. It's not happening.
I mean, he still can't attack back.
No,
can't strike Trump. Like the closest he came was he said, like, well, you know, unlike some people I know, I'll be able to use things like interpretations of the Second Amendment, Article 2, rather. I have experience using Article 2 of the Constitution to really change things. That and some people, some presidents, they can't do that. It's like, holy shit, dude, you are Liz Warren.
Oh no! The other thing that he would like today, I think he was like, you know, trying to drill down to the real policy details of what differentiates him from Trump, and he was just like, and the thing he was trying to ding Trump for was like passing some big like voting for or like passing this big like omnibus spending bill, and he was like, no, like, he's spending trillions of dollars or whatever. It's just like, no, like asshole. That's just only for when a Democrat is president. Nobody gives a shit about a spending bill when a Republican is president. Certainly not Republican voters.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, there's some other good reactions. This one is from I love the DeSantis cucks. They're so funny. This is from Ben Shapiro. He says, tonight was a perfect encapsulation of the campaign. If you're obsessed with the optics of the Twitter Spaces glitch, then you're probably not going to vote DeSantis. If you're interested in political substance, DeSantis is your likely candidate. And what I love about that is like political substance doesn't matter. If like the vessel that political substance is in, also there was no political substance in that. It was just like Ben heard someone with an equally annoying voice talking about like, you know, the founding fathers knew that the republic that they created wouldn't last. It doesn't instill values in the people. Like, and then my personal favorite from our longtime friend of the show, Megan McArdle, who wrote this. I think that was probably a mistake for DeSantis because it denied him the usual screenshots looking presidential in front of, you know, flags. but it was an interesting experiment and demonstrated a certain amount of policy fluency that conventional events can't. And then my favorite.
Yes,
my
screenshots, Ron DeSantis' best friend. No one has benefited more from being captured on video and isolated than Ron DeSantis and all the amazingly brave faces he makes.
And my favorite reply to this was someone called Lone Gardener of the Apocalypse, who just replies to Megan, mistake? It was a beautiful thing. Wonderful in its earnest ordinariness. The questions were good. His answers spot on. People may disagree with him, but the Twitter Spaces debut was brilliant. This is, he can still be president if you vote for him.
Yeah, this is, it's parallel Warren. It really is. It really is a repeat of the Warren cuckitude. It is perfect. You know, we're always looking for who the Republican Warren was. It was, you know, first it's Josh Holloway, then it's Tom Cotton. No, it's Ron. It's Ron because his fans are the most Warren-like. Mm-hmm. You know, he just gives them shit. He just gives them the worst ideas ever. And they're like, he has plans. Look what he's doing while Trump's fucking meeting with Dennis Rodman. He's making a bill that says that, you know, you can't be woke. What are you talking about?
I mean, like, I don't know. I've seen some speculation that, like, you know, like you can't bury Ron yet because, like, these are all based on national polls and not Iowa and New Hampshire. But I don't know. I just saw a poll from Iowa that had him down 30 the other day as well. So
Trump didn't even win Iowa the first time. Damn.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because, like, they're not one, but two Rich Lowry pieces in the last couple days before this Twitter announcement. One is entitled, "He's Not Dead Yet," from the New York Times. And the other is titled, "The Conventional Wisdom About Ron DeSantis Is Wrong." And there's one really great line in this. Or there's a couple. Oh, this is it, where he says,
I just want to say, while you're looking for that, I'm sorry, but you're talking about politics. The conventional wisdom is the only wisdom. That's the only wisdom that matters. There's no cult truth that has power. If conventional wisdom is he's a bitch, I'm sorry, sir, no matter how many objections you can conjure, he's a bitch.
I like this, though. He says, "What is Mr. DeSantis? He has spent the past several months talking about his record in Florida more than about himself, which is admirable in a way, but policies don't tell a story. At the moment, the average Republican knows little or nothing about his Yale baseball career."
That'll do it. That'll fucking
excuse me.
Call.
Yale baseball career versus one of the best baseball players in New York City.
Yes. Yes.
The best baseball player, he said New York State, which is an even greater distinction.
Yeah.
I feel.
And, you know, he could have played professionally if he'd wanted to.
Yeah. Instead, he chose to save America.
Yeah.
His Yale baseball career, they're not even fucking trying. Pathetic.
Oh, wow. He went to an Ivy League institution where he played baseball.
Oh, my. What? That's, you know why he was good at baseball despite going to Yale? It's because of my favorite part in DeSantis's book when he says, "Though I grew up in Florida, my parents' roots were in Pennsylvania and Ohio, and they instilled a blue collarness."
I'm culturally Midwestern.
I love that. He's a second generation blue collar Midwestern guy. That's why he's so fucking great at baseball.
Yeah, that's not at all how PMC treats shit. Excuse me. Hey, do you want to get a blood test to see how much blue collar DNA you have, maybe?
Yeah.
Are you 2%?
I have epigenetic trauma from clocking in.
Are you going to write a Scrapple recipe with a bunch of pilfered recipes, just like powwow chow?
I'm 98% white working class, 3%. Who cares?
Yeah. He is like every person who institutionally supports him. All the people from those national conservative projects called, like, you know, the White Picket Fence Project. They're all the same thing. You know, they literally gave birth to me at NYU. I've gone to Montessori schools in NYU and grad school my whole life. But my great grandfather was a secretary for a coal mine. So I it's in my genes.
But Lowry has some other, like, I mean, like, this is another interesting way he frames, like, how badly Trump has abused DeSantis so far and how meekly he's taken it. He says here, "When Mr. Trump put a bounty on Mr. Kemp's head," that's, Brian Kemp of Georgia, "for the offense of defying him after the 2020 election, the governor responded deftly. He said that Mr. Trump had a beef with him, not the other way around. And when responding to Mr. Trump's claims about the election, did it dispassionately and factually. He survived Mr. Trump's onslaught, but had the advantage of fighting a proxy war in a primary battle on his home turf rather than running directly against Mr. Trump. Mr. DeSantis would do well to study the Kemp example. While it shows it's possible to win against Mr. Trump, it also underlines that it has to be fought with care to avoid triggering a defensive reaction from his fans. Mr. DeSantis won't and can't make the totalist case against Mr. Trump as unfit to serve that never Trump Republicans in the press like to hear, but so it is. So he's saying, like, the example to follow. And by the way, Brian Kemp is like not running in a national political race against Donald
or
Trump.
Or against Trump. Like, and that's the thing that's different. It's like you do well to study this thing where the only reason that he won is because it's a different situation. Like nothing is applicable.
So
all
the
applicable stuff you're fucked with. There's a reason. The answer to this equation, by the way, was always don't run against him. That was always the smart thing to do. That was always what anybody should have assumed they were going to do, unless they just wanted a little publicity. No one was going to beat him. And he is taking it upon himself to try this quixotic mission, but he's going to get owned. I'm sorry, Rich.
And like,
it's also like DeSantis already did the thing that made Kemp successful. He won a gubernatorial race. Like that, he won it by more than Kemp. What's your fucking point?
And like, no, but like the thing is like to follow the example, even though it's like he's running directly against Trump and Brian Kemp wasn't, the example like he needs to follow is just like if Trump attacks you, just like meekly submit and say like, oh, I have no problem with him.
Yeah.
Oh, like, you know, like it's just like and like respond in a way that doesn't anger his fans, which is like, sure, that sounds great.
Kemp is also like Kemp is the archetypical governor, you know. DeSantis is successful because, as we've stated, the Florida Democratic Party is just, you know, they are what they are. And, you know, everyone who's hooting moved to Florida. Georgia, little tougher state, but Brian Kemp he's the guy you want for governor. He's just a big fucking smiling old oaf who gives a good handshake, you know? DeSantis can't have Kemp's simple affability. Kemp doesn't like cause birds to attack him every time he speaks.
And sorry, just one more line from Rich Lowry here. He says, there's no doubt that DeSantis has had a tough couple of months, especially in the national polling. But the idea that he's a weirdo and incompetent who has no possible national future is an example of conventional wisdom running out of control and distorting reality. It's just that wish casting. Just if you will, is no dream.
I got to say, though, there is one way that I could see Trump losing. Maybe not to DeSantis. Maybe, you know, his weakness draws another bigger buffalo. But shout out to my friend John for pointing out this possibility to me. Trump could lose if he is on Ozempic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because okay.
Imagine what he would look like if he got the Ozempic rapid weight loss, like the Jonah Hillification. Imagine the Jonah Hillified.
That would be
Donald
horrifying.
Trump. Horrifying.
God.
Well, not only that.
Not anything
not only that.
Anyone would want to look at.
I mean, forget the rapid weight loss. Apparently, some of the other side effects of Ozempic are like cutting down on like compulsive manic behaviors. So that would also be a huge disadvantage to Trump as well.
It would be like Austin Powers losing his mojo.
Mojo. Yeah,
I've lost my mojo.
If he lost the impulse to like give the oldest surviving astronaut McNuggets, that's it.
And I guess the other thing was the last thing Lowry gets to is that DeSantis should talk about electability because he was like Trump blew what should have been like an easy election win for him. I got news for you: most Republican voters don't think he lost that election. So yeah. That ship has sailed. So you're not going to talk about, Biden defeated him. It's like, well, no,
yeah,
he didn't.
He found the one weird trick to avoid the stigma of loser that sticks on an election loser. You just say you're not an election loser. Done. If they have a psychic connection to you deep enough, they will go along with it.
And the greatest part about that is no one who's even running against you on the Republican side could go, no, sir, you lost.
Yep. Can't do it.
And I guess like I think I want to return to from the beginning is this idea that like Elon Musk is trying to turn Twitter into like a cable news network, but they can't even get like an audio only Spaces to work with a few hundred thousand people tuning in. I mean, like, and or just like, what do you make of the idea that, that like, I mean, apparently, like, he's going to have, like, Tucker is going to have his show on Twitter. Like, what do you make of, like, Twitter being, like, the number one free speech platform in the world, like, i.e., like, you know, just like another right-wing media outlet? Like, I mean, what do you think, like, is this the rebrand that he's trying to go? Is there money to be made here? Hard to imagine.
There may potentially be money to be made, you know, because people are going to go wherever Tucker is. Tucker's huge. He's, you know, that boy can do TV. If it was a website that could handle 5 million people watching streaming video, which it is clearly not. If you break the internet with the 100,000 people listening to Ron and Elon and David Sachs, what is going to happen when Tucker's on there?
And also, this is at a time when they've now given Twitter checkmark holders the right to upload 2-hour long videos. So that's just getting thrown on there all day by these self-promoting lunatics. Do you guys see that all of John Wick 4 was up for like 3 days?
Okay, that is actually, got to give credit where credit's due. That's a pretty good improvement to Twitter. Yeah, I like that.
Absolutely. Free streaming theatrical releases. Thanks, Elon.
Pretty awesome. That's better
than MoviePass.
MoviePass, yeah.
Yeah, I take everything bad back I said about him. The man knows how to entertain.
As long as we're talking about streaming, and like I feel like once again, like I'm like expressing my distaste for Elon Musk or expressing my distaste about this, I feel slightly embarrassed by it. But man, oh man, like I felt really demoralized by the transition from HBO Max to Max on my television.
It's and a like, real Fuddruckers to Buttfuckers montage.
Yeah.
It's just, and like, you see the thing? I mean, like, they've already changed it. But like, initially in the credits portion of any movie on HBO Max, they had a credit just called creators that flattened the writer, director, and producers of the movie into just a creators category. Yeah. And they were like Raging Bull, created by Peter Savage.
And they also put Jake LaMotta on there. So presumably, like, if a movie's about you,
you are a creator of that content.
So when they put Downfall on there, will they be like Adolf Hitler?
Apparently this is
Martin Borman,
because like, the whole deal was they were this whole hideous HBO Discovery merger has been like shuffling a deck that's half HBO scripted content and half TLC reality garbage, and then putting them together. That's why they're like, oh, do we want to call this HBO? Because this is, it's got Dr. Pimple Popper up here. You know, do we want to have that next to the Succession? We don't know. So it's like, we don't want to scare away the Pimple Popper people, so we want to give them something. And so now we get this, and it's all the same thing. It's content. And who creates content? Content creators. Whether they're little, what the fuck is her name? Honey Boo Boo, remember her? Yeah. What's she up to these days? Martin Scorsese, they are doing the same thing. They're creating content for you to consume.
And like, physically, it's Max. And then underneath it, it says the place to go for HBO. It's like the place where you can watch HBO Max. But yeah, you're right.
The back door.
It's this horrible flattening of everything. And not just like the implication that like Jeff Bezos creates the movies that I watch on Amazon Prime, but just like you said, like the flattening of human culture into like, if it's just you're watching it, it's creators. It's just everyone's a fucking creator. And like, yeah, that's Martin Scorsese. And also available on Max, the television program, My Sister, the Tumor.
Max is, it's so weird because all the Max stuff under the Max brand, all the HBO Max shows are just CW shows, you know? Like, I swear every time the few times I was able to log on to HBO Max, which had me feeling like David Sachs or Elon on the call yesterday. That's how inept it was. It was always a show called like, Burst. And it was about a girl who can move for 500 miles per hour for 1 second. It's all shows like that.
That's a great idea. And
I think everyone realized like this shouldn't be HBO. What the fuck is this?
Man,
they're draining our life force. I mean,
it's bleak. So bleak.
The American deal was you're not getting real control over your lives, no actual democracy, but you will have choices of consumption and specifically what kind of entertainment you consume. And So a huge part of the deal of America, the dream that was that you will be entertained, and the entertainment has gotten terrible. And I don't think it's a total coincidence. It's the same time, you know, everyone is dying of fentanyl and becoming politically insane. It's because that energy has to go somewhere. If you can't be captivated, remember being captivated, folks, doesn't happen anymore. So they got to go get captivated by something.
When you think about these yahoos are becoming like, you know, leaders of like the state Republican parties who like literally believe in the flat earth. Did you see that video of that woman who were like, you see globes everywhere, and that's how they brainwash you. You turn on the TV, you see a globe. They're brainwashing you with the globes. And that's because like if entertainment gets bad enough, people will create entertainment out of reality.
Absolutely. That's where QAnon is.
Yes.
I do.
Nothing good on TV.
It is like
some Q proofs.
Yeah, no, I mean, why wouldn't you just be like, you believe in Hebrew magic spells and holograms? I do. When they turned it into Max, I felt like how Pat Robertson did when Ariel Sharon pulled out of Gaza. I was like, you know, God will strike down the man who divides the house of HBO. As a TV worshiper, HBO is so important to me. It's the temple. And turning it into fucking Max, turning it into, you know, as you said, documentaries about like a guy who has a goiter that has a face and a mouth and personality. Or
wait, is this the Ron DeSantis campaign announcement?
Boom. Woo. Woo. Or, yeah, you know, a show about a guy who every time he vapes, he goes back in time. It really is.
Brilliant idea. Fuck.
These are all real HBO Max shows. You know, there's a show about the woman who, you know, she invented the Kindle in 1807. These are the types of things we're watching. It really feels like worshiping a golden calf. It feels like lighting the temple on fire and putting a golden calf there. And I'm not wishing ill on everyone, on anyone, but God will strike down those executives.
David Zaslav, watch out. Because happen to Ariel Sharon after he withdrew from Gaza?
Well, good point. Good point. I know, it's just like the mercenary cashiering of like all human culture that's going on right now at the behest of these fucking tech and entertainment, because entertainment is just becoming tech now. There are very few the old movie mogul of the past is going away, and it's just going to be like all. By content, I mean like human culture is now going to be mediated by these tech people who have no understanding or appreciation for humanity, period. And like the way in which they're just going to strip bare and sell off and degrade like art and human expression. And I'm not even talking about like masterpieces or great works of art. I'm just talking about just good television shows, just something to watch, something fun and entertaining, something intelligent. It's just, it's all going away. It is all going away.
Yep, with the rest of the biome.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, actually,
the biome I can take or leave. You know, you.
See, that's just it. Like it all goes together. Like you think when you're making the devil's bargain, it's like, yes, I'm losing my my freedom and my you know ability to assert my humanity, but I'm gaining all these entertainments, and it's like not for long. It will take with one hand as it gives, and eventually you will rue the day you made that contract, that you signed the devil's book.
Well,
hey, I wanted to play guitar really well.
Can you blame me? The opposite of the devil's book, it's the covenant with God, you know? If you destroy, if you keep faithful to TV, even if you destroy rainforests, you're still going to get some shows. And these executives, they destroyed the covenant, so we're about to go into captivity. You know, we're going into Max captivity, and we're going to be saved by a Messiah who doesn't share a religion, but is still a just agent of God.
Oh, meaning right, Cyrus.
Cyrus is going to be a Chinese guy, a Chinese shoelace. He invented a great new form of shoelaces and has $40 billion. And he's going to buy the new Max and turn it back into HBO, and we will venerate him forever. He's going to heaven with all of us.
Well, just to close out the show today talking about some of these tech people, I just wanted to check in briefly about this this piece in the New York Post about headline, "Tech Tycoon Who Spends $2 Million Per Year to Retain Youth Uses Teen Son as Blood Boy."
Okay. All right. Oh, I've seen this guy.
Yeah,
this
I heard guy, of this dude.
Yeah, yeah, this guy looks like he's in the middle of an Animorphs thing, but he's turning into a tree.
An anti-aging zealot who spends $2 million a year in a quest to turn back time has dragged his teenage son into being his personal blood boy. Brian Johnson, the 45-year-old tech tycoon who wants to keep his internal organs, including his penis and rectum, functioning. Is your penis an internal organ or an external one? I don't know.
Both.
Both? Okay.
It can retract. It goes like around to your balls.
I like how he said including rectum. Like he wants to. He's like, I want everything preserved forever except the asshole.
Yeah, I want to keep a nice old sort of I want to get the patina on the asshole, and you can only get that with time.
Yeah, I want to be 100,000 years old. I want to be a fucking prophet from Halo. I want to be one of those guys from Mass Effect that lives 10,000 years, but I want to have to shit out of my mouth.
Just to keep it real.
So it says he wants to keep his internal organs, including his penis and rectum, functioning youthfully. He enlisted 17-year-old Talmadge to provide blood transfusions, Bloomberg. His son's name is Talmadge. Talmadge Johnson. At a clinic near Dallas last month, Johnson, his 70-year-old dad, Richard, and Talmadge showed up for an hours-long trigenerational blood swapping treatment, the outlet reported. Johnson usually receives plasma from an anonymous donor, but this time, Talmadge provided a liter of his blood, which was converted into batches of piece parts, a batch of liquid plasma and another of red and white blood cells and platelets. The fitness nut then undergoes the same procedure, but there's one key addition. After having his own blood drained, Talmadge's plasma is then fed into Johnson's veins, according to Bloomberg. As the oldest, Richard goes last and receives the same treatment as his son. Now, I know a lot of people might say this is weird, but I mean, I think this is a nice bit of, you know, father-son bonding in a very literal way. It's just like, hey, Dad. It's like, hey, Talmadge. Hey, like, we're hanging out tonight. Oh, like, can you play video games with us? No. Got to give my dad some plasma again. Got to keep my plasma up to get to my dad.
If you were this son, would you pull, like, a good-hearted prank on your dad? Like, you know, eat some
getting
pop
AIDS.
Rock? Well, okay, you could get AIDS, obviously. That's one thing you could do. I was saying, like, eat some Pop Rocks, you know? Have a little pop when he puts it in. It's a little lighthearted prank for your vampire dad.
I mean, why stop at plasma, though? He should get infusions of his son's cum directly into his balls. It is youthful 17-year-old seed that will, like, mix with his stale swimmers, and, you know, I mean, there's got to be something out there that is equivalent to that. I mean, he could just be taking it orally. It says, Johnson told Bloomberg that he has a team of 30 doctors and a regenerative health experts overseeing his regimen, which has come to include making trips to the Dallas area clinic for plasma exchange. He reportedly screened anonymous donors as blood boys to ensure he was receiving blood from a person with an ideal body mass index who lived a healthy lifestyle and was free of disease. Using plasma as an anti-aging technique caught the attention of wellness junkies when scientists literally stitched old and young mice together so they shared a circulatory system. God, that'd be sort of like an 80s-era comedy where a father and son have to be their circulatory systems stitched together, and it's like the dad has to go to high school, the son has to go to board meetings, and it's sort of like a Freaky Friday thing, but they're Siamese twins with the same immune system and plasma. However, there is little human-based data leading many researchers to view plasma swapping longevity techniques as inconclusive. Blood plasmas are traditionally given to patients experiencing trauma, burn, shock, severe liver disease, and clotting deficiencies, among other conditions, according to the Red Cross. But Johnson, who made his fortune by selling his payment processing company, Braintree Payment Solutions, to eBay for $800 million in his early 30s, gained notoriety earlier this year for his battle against father time. While awake, Johnson follows an ultra-strict routine that begins each morning at 5 a.m. with 24 supplements. He then strategically exercises for 1 hour, eats a low-calorie vegan diet, and even brushes his teeth in a calculated manner with a tea tree oil and antioxidant gel rinse. Then, while sleeping, Johnson is hooked up to a machine that counts how many erections he has throughout the night. Is that also his son?
I gotta go check Dad's dick again.
you know, just a good peek inside the minds of the tech people. And once again, it goes back to the question of, like, why the fuck would you want to live to be 200 years old if this was your daily life? What's the fucking point?
Yeah. I want to just be feeling this forever, just becoming a giant juice box.
I'd like to never experience pleasure eating food again. I'd never like to have any fun. I would just like to be, drained and not in the fun way on a weekly basis and have my blood swapped out for that of my son. Isn't this not to get all trad or anything, but doesn't this kind of insult God? Your child would be like literally like bleeding themselves to further your life. I mean, shouldn't it go the other direction?
You're a creature. You are a creature from mythology and religion. You are traditionally banished to hell at some point as a lesson to the children. You are terrifying.
Saturn transfuses his son's plasma.
This really is the type of thing, you know, in the Bible where God kills you, he gives you the worst boils ever. I don't know who he's fooling. It's gonna be
one of those executions where they just pile rocks on your body until it crushes you like pebbles at a time.
yeah. This is not good. He's going right to hell with the Max executives. This is no good.
Just like I would love an interview with the son about what he feels about all this.
Well, I mean, I think it's like a pay it forward type thing. Eventually, he's gonna have a son.
Right.
And,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's okay, a human centipede of eternal
plasma.
Life. You know. Get to live forever, but sewn with your mouth sewn to your grandfather's asshole. Doesn't that sound great?
What do you think it's like? What do you think it's like for Talmadge to bring his girlfriend or like a girl around his dad? It's like, I mean, how many comments do you think the dad makes about, like, you know, people say we're brothers. By the way, our dicks taste the same.
You know, my son was actually measuring my erection last night.
But quite robust.
Yeah, it's actually stays harder than his.
Best of luck to Talmadge and Richard and the unbroken plasma chain of the future that we all hope to live in sometime soon.
I think the most, like, this is, I mean, not the most perverse thing about it. Obviously, everything is the most perverse part about it. But I am struck by his need to tell everyone about this. I mean, it's a phenomenon we see all the time. You know, we see it across the board. Like the people who in March 2020, when they went, I know it's bad to leave town during COVID, but I gotta go because I need to go to a knitting workshop or else I'll go crazy. It's for my mental health. But where, like, you could have just done it and no one would have known.
Yeah.
But you need to tell everyone so they can tell you it's okay. I feel like the same thing's going on here.
Every year I take another portion of my son's liver and add it to mine.
Yeah. I'm sure there's things just as awful as this that we'll never hear about because the guy who's, you know, stealing his son's boner essence is like, oh, this is weird. I shouldn't tell anyone.
But David Sachs is probably doing all of them.
David Sachs. David Sachs can't even do an audio stream. You think he's stealing boner essence? Get out of here. David Sachs would Freaky Friday into his son's body and try to do his Torah reading at his bar mitzvah and just ruin it. He would summon a demon because he's so inept. He'd be like, oh no, I summoned a golem and the golem's woke. How did I screw up so bad?
Hey, we need a ruthless Terminator to stop these woke golems.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's leave it there for today. Anything to plug? Any updates? Nothing going? All right, well, let's just say goodbye for today.
Yeah, as we always say, you know, we're all saying it. Everyone's saying it. It's a national craze. It's sugar, man.
It's sugar, man.
It's sugar, man.
It's sugar,
ew,
man.
Ew. Gross.
Sugar, man.
Ew.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.